Welcome back to this week's episode of Toys on Tap. I am the most stoked because not only am I bringing on a great friend and artist, Pocket Salsa, but we are talking about the project that we are working on together, Chum. Toys on Tap has entered a new chapter in what they're looking like, and I'm really excited to bring it to the listener. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can like, follow, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. You can jump on all socials at Toys on Tap. You can jump on and subscribe to the YouTube channel, unboxings, all kinds of things like that. And if you want even more, you can join the Patreon, patreon.com/toysontap. You get episodes of the Nitty Gritty, you get videos, you get all kinds of stuff. All the support means the world, so thank you to all the Patreon subscribers. Now let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap. I'm pumped. We finally get to reveal. I know we did a live, but we finally get to talk through the whole process and bring this to light.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. And to do it with like plenty of sleep this time.
There we go. That's what's important, because you're rocking that no sleep game most nights now.
Yeah, most of the time. Yeah.
Which sucks. So that's crazy. I mean, let's just dive in because I want to talk about this so bad. But before we do, you know the drill. Introduce yourself. Tell people who you are, what you do.
I'm Pocket Salsa. I do a little bit of everything. Some mediocre resin casting, some 2D art here and there. Now vinyl. Which is not mediocre. It's actually really good compared to my resin casting.
My guy. And I mean, you've been around Toys on Tap, at least the perimeters, for a long time. So you've come on the podcast. We talked. Still to date, one of the funniest interviews, because it was in like a Target parking lot. And like, yeah. Wi-Fi was shoddy, and still like, it worked out. And so we did that, and then you've been on, I mean, we haven't done the bootleg market in a while because it just takes so much extra, but you were on the bootleg market, sold a grip of toys, that thing.
Yeah, a bunch.
That was one of my favorite things to do. It just takes, people don't understand, like, it takes so much planning to do anything. And so, and then you're like constantly sending messages and stuff, and we're talking. And so, yeah, you just have always been somewhere around Toys on Tap. So it's,
I try and hover around everything going on. Like, just so, like, mostly as a collector, not even as like an artist. Like, I just want to know what's going on, because maybe I want to spend a stupid amount of money on other people's stuff.
Oh man, don't say that on the podcast. You're about to get messages from people that are going to be like, I got a place for you to spend stupid amounts of money.
Oh yeah. I get messages from like four or five different collectors all the time. They're like, hey, I know you're super into this. This guy's selling like 10 of those.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh crap. Okay.
I don't get those messages often. Here's all my money. But when I do, it's people that know me well. So it's like, they'll send me something Street Shark. So they'll send me something like TMNT bootleg, or Tim from ETC, when he gets a new toy or a new Space Squatch or something, he'll send a message of like, new batches in. Do I need to sign you up for one?
I'm like, hell yeah. Tim, actually.
He's like one of my favorite people.
3 days ago.
Yeah.
Like he sent me a message. Was like, hey, do you want any of this? And like, I was like, any of what? And he just sent me all these like Moyokama vinyl things he just bought. And I was like, I do want all of those, but like, I literally have no money right now.
Yeah.
I cannot afford it. And then we did talk a little bit about Chum and whether or not the head would fit on a Space Squatch, but it turns out the joints are opposite. They won't work.
His body is the joint into the head.
Yeah, I believe so. or the head is the joint of the body. Whatever the opposite of mine is what his is.
I haven't cracked it open, so I have no clue. I need to
I got a heat gun. I was like, I don't know. Let me see. And like popped it right off. And I was like, yep, it won't work.
Okay. Okay. So the body, I'm assuming, is the cavity that it goes into.
I think actually the body's the head is the cavity. The body is got the joint on it.
Didn't even know that. And so like with you always being around, it was a no-brainer to, in this new endeavor that I want to do, to kind of say like, obviously you're in the running for one of the people. And so I thought of this idea and I wanted to do it, and you started sculpting. So tell me about this sculpt.
The sculpt initially, like I do a lot of 3D sculpting and just posting it either unfinished or finished on the page. So that was one of like six sculpts I did just to test the waters to see what people would want in the vinyl. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect you to actually see it and be like, hey, I got an idea.
Yeah,
but that's how it worked out, which was cool. And it was one of the more popular ones among people that like answered the question, which one of these six? And I was like, all right, cool, awesome. But that's originally what it was. The story behind the toy is more about my nephew, Jojo, and a day trip we took while we were out in Bangkok.
Yeah.
And like, I wanted to sculpt something that like kind of mirrored his personality a little bit. And he's like, you know, he's small. He's a kind of very much like boys will be boys sort of thing. Like always kind of pushing the boundaries. Like, you know, he's a little shark, man. Like,
yeah.
He's like, you got to be careful. Like, he'll push his the boundaries as far as you let him. But he's like, cute. He's a cute kid. And like, it's hard to be mad at him. So I was like, why don't I do a little cute little shark kid? Yeah. And that's basically that. So basically, this is a little tribute to my nephew Jojo. And I'll probably end up doing all my nieces and nephews and their like favorite animal or like,
yeah,
something like that.
And I mean, so, yeah, it's no shock that I chose this. I mean, if you've listened to Toys on Tap for any amount of time, yeah, street sharks are the thing, and the boots and like all kinds of stuff. And so seeing Chum, and really, I think what it's hard is like the toy that we now both have that will be produced, is not the toy you sculpted. Like so much has changed.
It's close.
Yeah.
Like it's a hammerhead shark still. And you know, it's still anthropomorphized, got arms and legs, but like the dimensions of everything had to change in order for it to really work as a vinyl toy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Neil Ewing was like, yeah, this needs to go. Those fins are pointing like too much in this direction. They're just going to rip when you try and pull them out of the mold. Like, I was like, all right.
Yeah.
So as long as it, like the essence of it stayed the same, I really didn't have a problem with changing it. Like I wanted this to work as a vinyl toy. It was obvious when I sculpted it, even when I was sculpting it and I didn't know how vinyl molds really work.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that wasn't going to work. It was kind of like, and a lot of the stuff I post as 3D sculpts are just like concepts. They're not the final version of anything. Like everything needs reworked in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
I just didn't have any guidance on exactly what needed to be reshaped.
So. Yeah. And I mean, the amount of help that has gone into this, and I think the podcast has kind of helped open doors. So like Spec Toys helped out when I first started walking through this process, because I've never produced vinyl. I've never done this process. I've never produced a toy like this. And so he started, and then I talked to Neil, and then Paul over at Mile High, and just working back and forth with you on like what it needs to do, and really trying to keep it in that sweet spot of it's fun to have a toy that could be ferocious, but it's also fun to have a toy that could be made cutesy and fit a different kind of aesthetic. And that was the goal. Yeah. I think looking at it, I saw so much potential in it. And I was pumped, especially because like the shark aspect, but like what I saw coming out of it more so than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big deal to me when I was doing this, was make it accessible for everyone as far as visually. Like, it could be, if you paint it right, it'll be really cute. If you paint it right, it'll be really creepy and weird. Like, you could make it however you want based on how it's painted. Because I don't usually do that. I want the vinyl things I make to do well, so that I can keep doing it. And I think starting out in a very neutral way is a good idea. So this is the perfect jumping off point, I think. Big fan.
Yeah, he's so good.
Stop looking at it. I gotta be honest. Like, I've just, like, ever since it got to me, I've just had it in my hand while I'm at home, like, the whole time.
Yeah. What's cool, so I don't know, I mean, to kind of go over what the process has been like, I think, again, I've never done any of this before, so I'm kind of figuring it out as I go as well, and people that are, like, pouring in advice and stuff has been so helpful. I went through kind of a similar process like this with a gallery to produce the Furbzerker, and just things that had happened that I wasn't super stoked on. And I wanted to figure out how to do that and eventually figure out how to do it better. And I don't know what that means yet, but I think the goal was, when I first decided this, I had to find the toy. Because it wasn't going to be one of mine from the beginning. It was never going to be one of mine.
Yeah, and, I mean, but it could have been, like,
maybe. I think that.
And how often do you actually mention your toys on the show?
Rarely, because at this point, I don't produce often anymore, and I've taken a break from producing anything at this point. Yeah, I think. This started out as me wanting to beat them, and kind of morphed into, like, this is a love letter back to the toy community that I found to be so amazing, of how can I help get toys produced. And so the model is that I looked around, I saw this that was being sculpted or almost done, and all the different heads and stuff, and it was just a shot in the dark to see if someone, because this is, since it is all new, this is all just a process. So what it came out to be is, and how this works and will continue to work for the future, I'll cover the cost of the mold and then the printing, and we'll decide, like, you can decide colors and we'll decide together collectively, whatever. And then we will get this, like, packaged and sent out to whoever buys it. And then once the cost of everything is recouped, we'll split whatever's left, and then it goes back to you. And I think that my main goal always in this, though it would be nice to, like, obviously make a profit, that's super great.
Yeah.
My goal is to make toys accessible and get toys produced. And I was talking to KO Toys. What is his new
Weird name? Kid Club.
Weird Kid Club. He sent me a message.
Yeah, KO Toys is a cool dude.
Yeah. Very cool dude. He's been on the podcast a lot. He runs This Is Not a Toy Store. He also does This Is Not a Toy Scene. And I think This Is Not a Toy Zine. Is that it?
Yeah. I need to, speaking of which, I'm like a day late on emailing him something I drew for a pickle goblin.
Yeah.
I did a custom pickle goblin. It was a chili goblin.
Yeah.
I airbrushed him red, gave him like a shirt and shorts and some shoes. And did a header card that was a drawing I did, and then he wants it to put in the magazine. I was supposed to send that yesterday. I totally blanked. So I got to do that right after this.
Well, I like to hear. You need to get on that. He's a cool guy. But he sent me a message this morning. I was up super early doing gym stuff, and he sent me a message, and we were kind of talking through all this stuff and just being able to articulate that, like, my goal here, though it would be nice to do whatever, like have this go huge, my goal is just to make sure that this gets produced. And my goal following that is to make sure that the toy goes back to who sculpted it. And so this has just been, like, on a real note, like, thank you for trusting me, because this has been such a fun process. Oh, yeah. On the other side.
This has been, I do have some questions.
Yeah.
As far as how it's gone so far and where we're at, we basically have, I don't know if he's mailed any of them to you yet or not, other than the two prototypes we got.
That's it.
Yeah. So we're basically done. We're basically, as soon as you get the pieces in, done, and they can just go out for sale. So my question is up until this point, like, what has made it easier on you to get through this, like, as far as what I'm doing, or what, like, or like someone in the future that's going to go through this process with you, like, what information would make, like, getting the molds made easier for you?
Yeah.
From the artist, like, because it was first time for me going through it, and I was always questioning myself, like, did I give him enough information? Am I available enough? Like,
yeah. So in the process, we are the mold. These are just test pulls. That's all these are. And so the molds are being shipped over now. And then you and I need to talk colors, as far as, like, I know we've talked a little bit about the colors. We can do spark or glitter, glow in the dark colors, marbled, not clear. So those four, not clear, which is okay. Because I'm really pumped about those four, because I have ideas that I really want to talk to you about. And so that's kind of where we're at. When the mold gets here, we send him the things that we need, and I cover the however many we're producing, and we go from there. So I think for those that are going to go through this process with me in the future, if it's soft vinyl, I now know the steps to go through and do that. If it is a toy that is going to be like resin statue, it's a whole nother learning thing, which, I think you and I have talked about it. The next one I think is a resin statue, and I'm a little nervous about that. But you offered the most important like two things that were super important. One, you told me the story about it, which was super important, because that lets me know that it needs to stay relatively like it is.
Yeah.
Two, the second part, that even though it needs to stay relatively like it is, you were still willing to make changes to make it a viable toy. Those are the two most important things, at least for me at this point. I need to know that the
flexibility is definitely key. Like, it would be hard to do this if I wouldn't have budged on like anything at all. But really, like, whatever.
Yeah. And I knew we were, I mean, we got those. And thank you. So thank yous that need to go out for sure, and will go out as like huge things. First, Paul and Neil and Alex with Spec Toys. And so those are the first three for sure. Tim, ETC, helping me get started. And then the last one is like Bootleg Toy Co. He started printing, so I could see the prototype before we sent it off anywhere. And I remember getting the prototype, and for some reason on the sculpt, there wasn't a double fin, but on the print, the back fin was splitting, and it was just a shot in the dark that it wasn't going to happen again. And so that was a little scary. But yeah, I think the fact that it was that you were willing to make it work and trust that we were still going to keep it the same toy with the same meaning, we just needed to do micro changes on it, that was super helpful.
I appreciated the input, honestly. Like, I know the things I sculpt are okay most of the time, but they're like I don't know, I just like to stay open to like any suggestions, even if it's just a random suggestion from a stranger, like, hey, you should do this or try this. I'm like, yeah, I will, because like I'm 100% self-taught, so someone probably knows a better way, which is why Bootleg Toyco is perpetually on my list of people to thank, because everything I know about sculpting, honestly, I've had to ask him about.
Mm-hmm.
Like before I started posting anything about any 3D sculpting, like, and he's always like, it'll be like 2 a.m. and I'll send him a message and he'll answer it like at 2 a.m. I'm like, all right, you can stay asleep. You don't have to wake up for me.
Yeah. And I think that that's, it's like the love of the game. And I think that if Toys on Tap were to end today, the relationships and stuff that have been built over the course of 3 years has been phenomenal. And it just shows in how willing people are to help in different ways. And that's so much.
So yeah, definitely. I think if I stop making toys altogether, or when I do, because I think everyone will eventually stop doing this, it's going to happen. With like, I don't want to think about it, but it'll stop one day.
Mm-hmm.
Like I might be 65, but it's going to stop. I think all the friendships I've made will continue going even after I'm done making art. Hopefully, like at the very least, like 4 or 5 of them I know for sure will. Because when I talk to those guys now, and a couple of the girls, like, we no longer even really bring up toys right away. It's just like, oh, how's your dog doing? So I know that this is more than just toys now.
Yeah.
But I did have a question about shows. Because you had mentioned on the live that this should be done and pulled before DCon. Did you have any plans for DCon?
You know, initially, sadly, if it would have been here, I think, because I tried to find a place to like split a booth with someone and do that, because the goal would have been to take this with me.
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 3.75 inch or 1.82. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now sponsors Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSONTAP 10.
Empire Blisters. Empire Blisters.
If I can get out there in Vegas, and if I have these with me, I might just take a bag full of like these and just go for it. But yeah, that's the hope. If I can get out there, I know that I'll be heading to Tag Fest in a couple weeks, which is it's right up in Orange County area, and it's like,
oh, Toy Art Gallery.
Yeah, they're like pseudo alleyway, whatever it is.
I've bought stuff from them like at ridiculously good prices. Like sometimes they'll have stuff up there, I'm like, there's no way that, I mean, I know they know what they have, but that is too low of a price for the thing I'm about to buy from you.
Yeah,
I like them, they're great.
And so being able to like go up there and take this with me, and Neil will be there, and Scott Barbarian Rage will be there, and seeing them, and going and seeing why can't I think of his name? He makes he's been Ben from Ben Spector. Is that that's his last name? Can't I think of his name?
I probably know it better that way.
He makes so many toys, and they're all like robotic looking, like futuristic, modern. I don't know why I can't think of his name. Galaxor.
There, Galaxor. Yeah, I know, absolutely, so know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, what's the idea?
So Tagfest is something you're definitely going to?
Yeah, it's a drive up and it's a 1 day thing.
Word. Last year I did Assembly Required in Asheville, and I just got an email about returning artists registering early.
Yeah.
If you're down for it, I'll get a table in Asheville and split it with whoever, if they want to split it, and just bring these.
Oh, if we're doing this, we'll just split it. I'll split it with you.
Yeah, honestly, it's not that expensive of a table.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't last year. I don't know if the prices have gone up. They didn't really tell me in the email. They might have. Mm-hmm. And then I've also heard rumors that they're going to make Assembly Required a coastal thing. Mm-hmm. In different cities up and down the East Coast. So there would be like a Northeast, a Mid-Atlantic, and a Southern Assembly Required, which would be awesome. I wouldn't have to drive 7.5 hours.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm more than happy. I think the goal, because I've wanted to get out there and I haven't been out there. And I think the goal, this is an audacious goal. The goal is to have all of them sold by the time Assembly hits. And so at Assembly Required, it really is just you're selling your toy.
Ordering more.
Yeah. And it's your toy again, and you're selling that. And then if I'm splitting a booth with you, I'm just doing Toys on Tap. That's what it really becomes.
So, yeah. So that I thought we could join booths, like, because hopefully you're right. It is done.
Yeah.
And everything. You've made money. And I was hoping if we split a booth, we could still, like, do the Toys on Tap, maybe get Bootleg Toyco, if there's a prototype ready for him by then, have that on the table with this toy, mm-hmm, sort of deal.
I think
that would be cool. Like, and like just make it a Toys on Tap booth that I just so happen to be selling a toy at. Like,
sure.
Cause that way you can, like, have you seen the inside of Assembly Required at all?
Listen.
Very, I'll say, intimate.
Yeah. Listen. Tiny. What's his Castle, right?
Yeah.
What's his name? Man, my brain is effed up today. I can't remember what his name is, but he's been on, I think he's come on. We've talked. He's been on the podcast, I think. And I've heard from Brian about how close this really is and how intimate. Oh, yeah. And I'm not bummed about that. However, being that close to that, but being that close to that many people for the course of a weekend is, that's a set, like, that's tough.
Oh, dude, I promise you, you won't even notice it.
Okay.
I promise. It's like, I'm not big at with like proximity and like lots of people.
Yeah.
Didn't bother me once.
All right. That's good to know.
Super nice the whole time. I was right next to Pikmin's vinyl. I had Edwin Solis behind me. Tears Customs was like on the other side of him. Eddie Ketch with Resin Blood was like 10 feet away.
Yeah.
Like, and everyone like super welcoming. Brian was just walking around handing out stickers. Like, and I think like the price range that we have on this toy, $20 is the perfect price range for Assembly Required.
Yeah. And I think, based off of vinyl cost to pull certain things, there'll obviously be like little variances if it's glow in the dark or glitter and stuff, but my goal, 100%, the goal is just to make this toy absolutely like attainable. And
get one painted like a street shark, obviously.
But I think what's you know, in that conversation this morning, he had said something kind of along the lines of like, that's really cheap, and it's cheaper than a lot of the toys that are out there. And though I understand that, and and I've been thinking a lot about that, I'm just in a cool, unique spot where toys are not my life. Like, I don't need to make toys to make a living. I have a whole full-time job, and this is kind of a side thing that my wife, like, who also works full-time, is into this. We don't have kids. I have two dogs. Like, I have and so, like, I just am in a spot where at this point in my life, I'm okay doing this. And on my end, bare minimum breaking even and getting this toy produced. And so even if, like, if I could have had this cheaper, dude, when I first started looking at this and trying to price it out, I started at $10. That was where my baseline was. And I said, how do I get it as close to $10 as possible? I mean, I would have had to sell so many at $10.
Yeah, we had to sell what?
Oh, 200, 300, 400, 500
of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the very least 200 just to get close to even.
Yeah. And so obviously I was like, okay, that's too low. And I think the first run that I'm going to see if he'll pull is I'm going to try to shoot for 110, 115. And I think that's the first, and it'll be split up between colors, of course, and all the stuff.
Yeah. Yep. I don't really have any preferences as far as blank colorways go. I know the only thing I care about is having one marbled version. Other than that, I think it's really up to you, and because it's your bottom line, right? So, like,
yeah, but I want to make you happy.
Gonna sell.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm already happy.
I do have one thing that, like regardless,
I'm happy with this.
Yeah.
Even if this was the end, I'd be like, oh man, I got this.
Yeah. I do have one that I absolutely, like, 100% has to be produced. And I think going forward, looking at, like, how this is going to work out, anytime I do this with an artist, I will always have, like, one thing that needs to be done, and then we'll call it a day. And mine is,
I gotta know.
Yeah. So, Ragnar is one of my favorite characters of all time. I love Last Bastion. I love Wes, like, and Chris, and just everything that they do. And when I bought a Ragnar, one of the reasons that I was so enticed was the blank is this, like, intense green. And I love that, like, color. Ooze.
Like that ooze.
Yeah. Green. So.
Or Slimer green, almost like an Ecto Cooler kind of situation.
Right. I want that green, glow in the dark, with minimal painting on chum, because I want it to be a toxic chum. And I think that there's something fun about the idea. It's this play on the fact that we as humanity are just polluting everywhere. And chum is now, like, this pollution shark that's running through it. And so,
little mutant pollution shark boy.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I have a package idea for it, and I'm really excited for it. And so that is the one that I absolutely want to get produced. Everything else, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, let's do that.
Dude, I'm so pumped.
115 of those.
Yeah. one of the cool things I think too is because I love collaborating on this stuff. And I think I've talked a lot about, like, packaging and how important that is for me and why it matters so much that things are packaged well. And you kind of share that same sentiment, which is nice. And, and to kind of reveal some of the packaging, I think for the base levels that are just blank and there's, like, nothing special about them, it's just a blank version of a great toy, they're going in the normal bag header or some kind of tie off with a thing. We need to talk more about that. And so I'm excited that goes out. And then in special artist painted ones that I'm really excited for, they're going to go in a tackle box, that is made out of paper, and I figured out how to make it, and I'm really pumped about that. And so you'll get, like, a little setup with it. So that's really cool. And I think for the toxic one, I'm still trying to find what I'm exactly looking for, but it's coming in an oil drum.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
I sculpted a little oil drum. It's somewhere around here that I was going to use for like some show that got canceled forever ago.
It's not quite big enough to fit him in.
I only have one printed version of it, but it could just be scaled up. I think it would fit him just fine.
And so that's the goal. And if it means I need to have those 3D printed, whatever, that's just because I know that that piece is going to be so fun and it's going to need minimal paint. So I'm really excited about that piece, but I'm pumped about this whole project. I can't tell you how excited I am. It's been, you know, through a hard summer battling mental health stuff and kind of going through stuff at work. This has been a project that has like driven me to continue to go forward with toys and really kind of keep my hand in toy making because though I pulled out completely, I don't know that I can have a toy podcast that interviews artists that makes toys if I don't have my hand in toy making at all.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So, it's been a bright spot.
Although there are people that do it.
I know, that's so crazy. I think about that all the time. Like there are people out there that have toy podcasts that do not make toys, and that's okay. Yeah,
it's just nice knowing that the person talking to me has like the process for almost everything, if not more than I know. You've been doing it longer than I have, so I would say more. But you also appreciate like how difficult some of these things are.
Yeah.
And like the fact that most of us probably don't make near enough money off what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you can tell when you're interviewing someone whether or not, you know, they're in the right place and their like headspace is correct or if they're full of shit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, and I've talked to plenty of people who are legit full of shit. Like they'll tell me all this stuff and I'm like, none of that's gonna work.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll help you and I'll give you my time and I'll tell you what I think you should do if you ask me a question, but I don't think that's gonna work. And like, I don't think your heart's in the right place. I don't think you're doing it for the right reason. Yeah. And like that's a struggle even for someone that is doing it for the right reasons, is getting like a big head sort of thing, you know? Like, and I think that's the main thing I'm trying to avoid is getting a big head about like anything I do.
So well, now that you have like a vinyl toy, let that head swell, my guy.
No, I think I always want to keep my toys between like $20 and $30. I don't think I have any reason to make something that costs more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I painted it myself, I still would keep it between $20 and $30, because like...
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this. Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures...
DOV2, we have engine failure! We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet!
Oh my! We're doomed!
Wait! Salvation! Hooray! We're saved, DOV2! Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys!
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures!
DKE!
Why?
What, yeah.
Like, it's cool, and I think it's the coolest thing in the world. Why would I charge someone else who thinks the same way as me, like, so much money to get the thing that I also love? Like, I don't know what to. I don't want to be part of the cool guy club. I want to be the weird kid club for sure.
Yeah.
So.
And so I'm pumped. I think this toy for sure will be out before the end of the year. Yeah. I'm banking on it being done by November. Again, I have no idea. I've seen Paul's workload, so I'm never going to be the person that's like, where are the toys at, Paul?
I've seen the pictures of all the molds he's got stacked up all over the place.
So it's like I'm not worried about that, but I know they'll be out, and I'm really excited for it. And so I'm pumped that people get to see it. I'm pumped that people get to hold something that you love.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely love this thing too. So this is going to be exciting.
Yeah.
I'll probably release like a 2D line art to go, like, I'll just drop it and drop a link to it so people can download it and like sketch out whatever colorway they would like on it. And they can either hand that to someone that can paint it or they can paint it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to do little extras to go with it. Like that, I'm excited for that too.
Yeah. And I'm excited that like in the process of this, like once this episode drops, which will be next week, but if you're listening to it now, it's now, we'll be able to post about this stuff and then all the way up until launch. So I'm really excited that that's the reality. And I think that that is going to be a good selling point for this, that it's within a price range people want. It's made by people that people know, and it's a fun toy.
Yeah, super fun. And then I'm guessing at some point in time, after you've made your money back, obviously, I will probably pull this guy apart and make a mold of him and do weird trippy resin pours occasionally of same figure.
Yeah, I mean,
and just, you know,
do what you're gonna do. And I know that we've talked a little bit about, because on top of this, what you have, a narwhal head, you have a regular shark head and a whale head, correct?
Yeah, a whale head, a narwhal head, a regular shark head. I did an alligator.
Okay.
Also, with the fins? Alligators don't have fins. Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Why
though?
Not?
Yeah.
It's more like, I'd say it's more like a crocodile.
Yeah.
And then I used the basic same shapes to do a little dinosaur. It's like a dinosaur with a boy. It's like a boy wearing a dinosaur costume. I just posted that, the sculpt of that anyway. And then I just kind of want to keep doing, I want to be able to interchange all of the parts from everything I produce from here on out.
Yeah.
So like everything will have that, I think it's 1.5 inches hole, or maybe 2-inch hole with the corresponding male socket joint. So if you have 3 or 4 of these, you could heat them up with a heat gun and switch heads. And just mix and match as much as you want it.
Yeah, it'll be so good. And I think, Mile High will work with you and figure out all those details and do all that. And I'm excited to see. I think that's what's really exciting about this toy. I'm excited to see what's next. Like, this is the easy part with what we're doing. Like, I want to see where it goes.
I do have ideas about where it goes next. If it goes well, if the toy sells well, and it's fun. I do want to do like a children's book, like a short story children's book. And I was thinking about hitting up Hence the Meat about that, because he's made children's books, and seeing how to do that. Because I think telling the story of Chum, like Chum goes to Bangkok, right? Mm-hmm. I could do that whole toy store visit with my nephew as a little short story in a children's book.
Yeah,
package along with Chum, or like any of the other places I've visited with that kid. Like,
yeah, I will send you a message right now with an artist that works with people to bring what you are saying to life. One of my goals early on, I don't know how good of a goal this is or not. I don't know my life. But I just sent it to you. He works with Fiverr and stuff, but he's a cool guy. One of my goals was to make a children's book called The Bible is Metal, and all of the weird, like crazy stories that you hear in the Bible, having a children's book, like do the depictions of it. Like there's a story in there where, this guy gets made fun of by kids for being bald. He prays and a bear comes and eats these kids. Like, that is such a fun children's book.
That's amazing.
And so, yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Well, he said he's hyper religious, or he said something, but he said, I can't do this and be respectful. So I was like, okay, I respect that. It's fine.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But it was so funny to like think that was a possibility.
I mean, are you doing the illustrations for it, or are you just writing it?
It writes itself, right? Like it already exists.
Yeah, it already exists. You have to turn it into like kid words.
I would need him to do it. And I think he just was, it's a touchy subject for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It kind of goes along the lines.
The right person to put it out there.
Yeah. And it goes along the lines with like, on Toys Alive, they talked about, I think only one set exists out there. I have to really look back, of those crayons that are bullets.
Yeah. They're amazing.
Only one set exists. They're absolutely amazing. Yeah. So, I mean,
Crumbs has them at his house, I guess.
Yeah. Oh yeah. For Crumbs, for whatever it's worth. Like I know that like we've had things between us in the past or whatever, but like, I'm glad that you have it because you love toys, but also you have the only one. I stopped producing them. I got so much hate for it. It was unreal.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. But like things that are important usually do get a bunch of hate. Like I thought that was a really important piece of art.
And no one, everyone that sent me messages and hate, no one asked about the project. So the basis of the project, the Yucko crayons, God, even saying it sounds so stupid. The basis of the project was, if we're not going to change the fact that we in the United States use kids as target practice instead of protecting them, then you might as well make crayons and name them after shootings, because you're going to have to just teach them about it. And it was just like, that was such a radical thing for some people. And no one really had an intelligent response. They all like, you're an idiot. Like, F you, like you deserve. It was like, okay, like come up with something that is a little more helpful. But it was crazy.
Yeah. Like, tell me why you're upset.
Right.
But they can't actually tell you why they're upset. They just are upset.
Yeah. And so if it happens again, if I make those again, maybe that's a Toys on Tap production. I don't know. That's tough. I need to really think through some of the ideas before I like start producing that.
So you could do them as like a, you know, like a tactical vest has those pouches that you can slot different.
Oh yeah. Magazines.
Really customizable. You could make one of those pouches, those like an actual pouch that's slottable into one of those vests, be the crayon box to hold actual bullets if you really wanted to. But have them, like, you know, have the little bullets actually be crayons, not real bullets, but like, as far as packaging goes, like we both like weird packaging. So
I think the way to do it, I think there's, the cool way that it could be done is something like that. And you wrap the crayons, but then instead of putting the name of the shooting on the crayon, you just put the color and then you put a piece of paper in it that says like, these were named these colors. This is why this is important. And I think, and like whatever your political beliefs are, I don't care. I don't care what anyone believes. Like, go on, do what you're going to do. But it was just something that like those were happening more frequently. And that's where that started. I think another one would be fun to do a cigarette box, and they're like cigarettes that are usable.
Yeah, that would. Or a little e-cigarette.
Yeah, it'd be so good. Those are my like that kind of stuff. I think speaks volumes when it's created, and that kind of fits into the like Shampoody era of stuff.
Yeah, I do like all his work. I do like the trench knife that's usually sitting behind you when you do videos.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's right there, just in the light. Oh,
Yep.
Yeah, I do like that. Yeah, Shampoo, he's metal about what he does. It's crazy.
Yeah, and they're usually really good. Some of the stuff I could take or leave, but like the ones that are really good are really good.
Yeah.
But I had something else to add to that, and I can't remember what it was off the top of my head. Look at us both. You're forgetting names. I'm forgetting thoughts.
I know.
Seconds ago.
I'm going to have to send Ben a little I'm sorry thing about not knowing or remembering his name. But yeah, I'm pumped about this whole project, and I'm pumped that you were trustworthy and that you trusted me enough. And so I'm really excited this is coming. And just like all episodes of Toys on Tap, how can people get a hold of you? What do you got coming out? What's going on with you? How do people get in touch?
To get a hold of me, just send me a message at @pocket_salsa. If you want to see, and not many people do want to see it, the 2D stuff I do, there's a link in my bio to that. Pop a culture. I'm not super active there, but I do post stuff there from time to time. September 1st, I'm putting on a show called Never Have I Ever. The second half of that, I've been trying real hard to actually find a way not to back out of that, right? Because I get a lot of people messaging me like, this is the cool thing you're doing, but that's not the point of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want you to message the people in the show. This is a cool thing you're doing. Like,
yeah.
All I did was start a group chat, essentially. Like,
yeah.
Like, I didn't make any of the art they're going to put. I'm not putting anything out for the show. So, like, I didn't do anything. So I was trying for a little bit to get someone else to take over, like, as a new creator, take over for me.
Mm-hmm.
And them dictate, like, I kind of casually bring it up here and there in the group chat, like, if anyone wants to blah blah blah, feel free, let me know, and I'll back out altogether. I'll disappear.
Yeah.
And then you guys can run this yourself, and it truly will be a totally new creator show. It didn't happen, and I understand why it didn't happen. Like, that's not usually a role people want to take on right away.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, give someone the shot, and it didn't work. But yeah, that's the 1st of September. I'm going to go live probably about 8 p.m. for that. All the people in the show will be dropping their toys between 6 and 7. Toys and art, I don't think it's all just toys. I think a lot of it might actually be like sculptures. I know there's a guy, Cave Mold. I don't know if you've seen Cave Mold's work. It's definitely more sculptural. But he's really good. Cleanest casts I've seen out of someone that's not like well known.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful cast. Definitely has his own style. Love his work. But other than that, not a whole lot going on. Just waiting and looking and biding my time to get more chums in the mail.
Heck yeah. I'll send you, thank you for coming on Toys on Tap.